You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This will be a continuation of yesterday's show. I do have some updated information. And that was about the portion of the 60-minute interview that President Obama gave, in which he, for all practical purposes, threw under the bus James Clapper, his National Security Intelligence Advisor, and blamed, when responding to a question from Steve Croft, that they had bad intelligence. This was an intelligence failure. In other words, they really were unaware that the Islamic State was this strong. There's only one problem with that. It's a lie. Now, I'm not surprised because we have a president for the last, well, every day he's been in office, has been lying to the American people big time. He's an habitual liar. Now, I understood that and was surprised, really, to learn that. It was about September of 2008 when he was running, when suddenly, and I've been following him for several months, and that was the Hope and Change, a very motivational speaker-type campaign, but then when it had to deal with some of the issues, this president would lie. So I caught on rather early that this president has an integrity problem. He has a problem with the truth and telling the truth, and will spin or lie, mislead, misdirect whoever he's talking to. And a lot of this, you can't blame him for speaking off the cuff because he also has a habit, and you've seen it, and I think this is intentional. He reads speeches. He's a very good reader of teleprompters. Now, I'm not reading a script, and I emphasize that. Most people in talk radio don't read scripts. It's not like television where you're scripted to the very second, and it's a very collaborative medium. In talk radio, you have to speak. I sit down, but you have to be good on your feet. You have to really tell the story. Be expressive. The president has a problem when he does that. So the way they handle that is to make most of his, well, it's speeches. It's tightly scripted. He's reading a speech that someone else has written. Now, obviously, he reads the speeches. I'm sure he makes some changes. That's not new. I'm not criticizing him for reading speeches because the president has to make many, many, many speeches in office. Some of them are rather informal occasions. So he literally does not have the time. In this case, I don't think he has the ability either to do it off the cuff. However, when you go on 60 Minutes, usually you don't know the questions. And I'm assuming, and that may or may not be a good assumption, that he didn't know the questions. But what surprised me was that he would, again, tell a bold-faced lie, because it's clear from previous statements of his own people in the intelligence community, he was totally aware and briefed on the Islamic State, and it was an increasing threat. This should not have come as a surprise to him. And it wasn't a surprise to the intelligence agency. Now, what was the big surprise? And there was a big surprise here. And this, I would agree, in President Obama's defense this time, that no one could have foreseen it. Although even on reflection, maybe you could. What did the U.S. military not anticipate? Remember, we trained the Iraqi army for years, several years. And we provided them with a lot of equipment. And the Shia, which predominate in terms of the population, they're roughly 60 to 65% of the population is Shia, and about 20 to 25% is Sunni. So the Shia predominate in the government, and the prime minister is Shia, both this one and the past one. But we had a problem with the prime minister. He was insecure, so he fired a lot of military officers. Sound familiar? President Obama's done that too. But the Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki made sure that the Iraqi army was populated in these officers' corps with Shia officers, and the competent ones were removed. So what do you think happened when the Iraqi army, especially in northern Iraq, where the Sunnis are, north and northwestern Iraq is where most of the Sunnis are, with the exception of Baghdad. What do you think happened when they were up against a highly motivated, highly trained, experienced military force, namely the Islamic State? They took off their uniforms and ran. And what happened to the weapons? Both the vehicles, we're talking tanks, armored personnel carriers, Humvees, machine guns, rocket-propelled grenades, artillery pieces. The Iraqi army turned tail, and they ran. They cut and run because they were afraid of the Islamic State militants, because they knew that the Sunnis would give them no quarter. What I mean by that, they weren't taking prisoners. They were going to kill the Shiite wherever they could find them, and especially those that were wearing the uniform of the Iraqi army or were in the police, because the Iraqi army, as well as the police that were dominated by Shia, were not liked. They were hated by the Sunnis, the local Sunni population. So they ran. They took off. They fled to Baghdad. They fled south. Some of them got away. Some didn't make it. And the ones that didn't make it were killed. That's what happens when you have a bloody, violent civil war, which we have in Iraq today. And it's really the Sunnis against the Shia. It's a religious, sectarian civil war. The problem is the Islamic State is dominated by radical jihadists, violent jihadists, that want to reestablish the caliphate. Now, Obama's mistake was getting out of Iraq. Politically, in the short term, that was a smart move. Politically, in the short term, it was a smart move. Why? He withdrew all our U.S. armed forces from Iraq in December of 2011. And that fulfilled a campaign promise, a pledge, and he fulfilled it. That helped him get out his vote, especially in the left wing of the Democratic Party, which is the predominant part of the Democratic Party. I would say the whole Democratic Party today is left wing. But that was the campaign promise that he fulfilled, and that set him up for the 2012 reelection. That helped him get his base out. And why was that important? Because Mitt Romney, whether you liked him or not, had he got just the same number of votes that McCain did, would have been president. In other words, conservatives sat home because they knew Mitt Romney was a rhino or progressive Republican. And many of them said, I'm not going to vote for either one of them, even though they knew Obama was worse. So Obama won, and he had a short-term political gain by pulling out. And at that point, during the Democratic Convention, was when the mime of "we kill bin Laden and Al-Qaeda is on the run." Well, it's obvious they killed bin Laden with a lot of help from a lot of people over many years in terms of locating him. But there was another lie. But this president, like I said, he lies all the time. But the lie was that Al-Qaeda was on the run. Al-Qaeda wasn't on the run because on September 11, 2012, they attacked in Benghazi. Now, much of what I just said was summarizing the past show, but the past show goes in a lot more detail. So if you didn't listen to the previous show, I suggest you do that before continuing on with this. And the way you listen to my show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to my most recent shows, between 60 and 80, the most recent shows. And at the very bottom, you'll have links to my entire portfolio, with the exception of some of the earlier shows that were accidentally overridden. But the reason I'm pointing this out is every show I have my notes. And those can be articles, they can be photographs, they can be videos, charts, graphs, whatever, that pertain to whatever story I'm covering. And I do have a number of videos for the last show. That's why I urge you to first listen to the previous show before continuing on with this, because I'm not really going to go into much more detail that I did last time. But the key thing you have to know about the Iraqi-Syrian situation, it's very unstable for this reason. You have the Arabs hate the Iranians and Persians. They fear and hate the Iranians. So there's no love lost between Arabs and Persians, or what we call in the United States, Iranians. So there's a nationalistic fear going on. And who are the Arabs? Saudi Arabia, the Iraqis, the Syrians, people of Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Jordan, Palestine are all Arab. And the predominant religion among the Arabs is Sunni. And Sunnis make up about 89% of the total believers in Islam, which is over 1.3 billion worldwide. So you need to understand that basic fact. There's no love lost between the Arabs and the Persians, or the Sunni and the Shiite. The Shiites are primarily in Iran, but they also predominate in Iraq, and there's also a large percentage, actually, throughout the Middle East. But they're a minority in most other countries. They're not a minority in Iraq. They're obviously not a minority in Iran. And the Syrians are being supported. The Bashar Assad regime is being supported. And remember, he is an Alawite, which is related to the Shia. But he's being supported by Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization, a very dangerous terrorist organization that's supporting him. They're obviously enemies. They're all enemies of Israel, by the way. But Hezbollah gets its support and money from Iran. So you have the Islamic State that's trying to overthrow the Iraqi government as well as the Syrian government. Why? Primarily for religious reasons, because they consider the Shiites apostates. And the only good thing that happens to an apostate is they kill them. So that's the basic situation that when you intervene in any of these countries, you need to understand the basic religious divides here. You also have family divides, tribal divides, religious divides, political party divides. You also have secularists that want a modern-type government, and you have, call it the theocrats, the fundamentalists that want a religious government. So there's a lot of rivalries going on. There's several hundred, for example, in Syria alone, there's several hundred rebel groups. Several hundred. But the most dangerous ones are al-Qaeda related or associated or affiliated, whatever word you want to use. And those are the Islamic State in the eastern portion, the far northeastern portion, and al-Nusra, or Jabhat al-Nusra is the full name, in the western portion. And there's rivalries between these groups for power. They're fighting over who is going to control Syria. And Islamic State is fighting not only Syria, but also Iraq. Now, Obama made a big mistake. Politically, it was a smart short-term move. He pulled the troops out in December 2011. Even though his military advisors were telling him that the only way you're going to have stability in Iraq is that we leave a residual force of somewhere between 30,000 and 50,000, and President Obama did not want to do that. So once he pulled U.S. troops out, he threw away any advantages that we had in establishing stability and keeping, if you will, the Sunnis and the Shias apart, because each groups have militias that kidnap and kill each other. The way to think of it, the United States military was acting like a referee. So when President Obama made that, he made a fundamental military mistake, not a political mistake. But in the long run, it's come back to bite him. And see, that's what President Obama won't admit. President Obama has a personality disorder. It's called narcissism. And one of the telltale signs, and you can see it in the 60-minute interview, but there are many, many, many examples. One of the tells, if you will, of someone that has this problem, and it is a problem, it's a serious personality disorder, is the constant use of the word I, me. That personal pronoun. But there are other signs of it or indications of it. And he surrounds himself with people that I would describe as yes men or sycophants. He doesn't take bad news well. And that's why he's continually blaming other people for his own mistakes and shortcomings. Because President Obama made a mistake. when he withdrew American troops and does not want today to admit that was the mistake. He wants to blame it on other people, whether it's the U.S. intelligence community or the Iraqis. Now, to be fair to him, I agree there's a lot of blame to go around here. And the prime minister, the former prime minister Maliki of Iraq, is a major part of the problem. But that's why the U.S. military was insisting on leaving a residual force to try to keep the peace and keep stability and keep the Sunnis and the Shia from cutting each other's heads off. So once that military force left, I for one am not surprised what happened. Now, it obviously took President Obama by surprise, even though he was being briefed on what was happening. You need to understand the Islamic State used to be called They used to be called Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And the president is absolutely right. The United States Marines, as well as the Army, in 2007, 2008, virtually destroyed Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They either killed him or they captured him and put him in prison. Many of though did it went underground and escaped. Where did they escape to? They escaped to Syria. And they regrouped, rearmed, initially confined their activities to Syria. But when President Obama did not attack Syria, and he wanted to, but he got cold feet. And he got cold feet because the American people said, we don't want any part of a civil war in Syria. There's nothing there. There's no good side to pick. So he backed out of that. And the message received loud and clear from the Al-Qaeda in Syria was, listen, let's go back to Iraq and kill our enemies, the apostate Shia, rearm, get equipment, recruit people. And that's exactly what they did. And now they control large portions of Iraq. They control the second largest city in Iraq, Mosul, M-O-S-U. US. So that's where we stand today. So the president is being really fundamentally misleading the American people. He doesn't want to admit to the public that he made a mistake, especially now we're in an election year again. He wants to put the blame on somebody else, even if it's in its own administration. It's hard to place the blame on the Republicans because most of the neoconservatives, as well as conservatives, were saying, we need to keep a residual force in Iraq. But the calculus of President Obama was that his political base didn't want that because he ran in 2008 as to get the troops out of Iraq as soon as possible. He also ran. He was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay, the prison down there, and he didn't do any of them. So he had to fulfill one of his major campaign contributions that he did. And now Syria and Iraq, the people of Syria and Iraq are paying the price. And we're paying the price, too, because guess what? Those munitions that we're using are expensive. They're not cheap. So we're back in Iraq. That's what's happening. And his strategy of no combat troops isn't going to work. Again, his own military advisors are telling him the only way you're going to destroy the Islamic State is you're going to have to put combat troops, infantry, to go in there and root out and kill the fighters of the Islamic State. You can't do it from just airstrikes, whether it's jet fighters, cruise missiles, or drone missile attacks. And now, here's the real problem. Islamic State knows that it can't fight a conventional war. They're not stupid. They know how to terrorize populations. And it's going to become a guerrilla war. What do I mean by that? They're going to blend in with the people so you don't know who the enemy is. They're not going to continually waving the black flag and riding in Toyota pickup trucks with machine guns on the back of them. In other words, they're going to have to change their tactics, and they're prepared to do that, and they know how to set bombs. And they're trying to suck the United States military in, and that's where I agree with Obama. I think his strategy is not going to work, but stay out of Iraq, Syria, and for that matter, Iran. The American people don't want any part of this. And both Republicans and Democrats know that. So that was my update of yesterday's show. Tomorrow, I definitely will get into the earthquake in Japan that have already killed 36 people, and the death toll is climbing. With that, I'll close the show. We'll be right back. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.